Father, it is a blessing once again as we're here. Continue to move and speak into our lives. Lord, we thank you for the word and the encouragement, and to know that, Lord, no matter what we go through, whether trial or temptation, the beauty that we have today is that you will always be faithful. You've given us your word and your promises to remind us. And today, that's what we want to anchor down on. The truth and the beauty of who you are and your desire to be a part of every aspect of our life. So continue to move and speak into our lives. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 All right, gentlemen, go ahead and have a seat. Let's give it up for our worship team. All right. Well, listen, I'm excited this morning to share with you guys. And I do pray that we would continue to let the Lord lead us. And we're going to be in James again. It has been such a blessing to see the response. And of course, just myself being able to sit and take in. But just as a way of a little bit of a recap, you know, coming off of our theme of manning up, you know, we want to encourage everybody, you know, to stand up and to really live out your faith. That was the heart of the first session. And then, of course, you know, Pastor Brennan using the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego at the end of his message last night was pretty powerful to help us see what real faith looks like in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of being literally in a fire. And for us, it's those trials and those things that we will face. And yet Jesus was there, and he will still be faithful to us. And so I'm super thankful to hear that truth. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
And then, of course, Pastor Tim, just a few minutes ago, again, reminding us that trials are going to come. And you know what's been interesting as I've been walking with the Lord? How many football fans do we have in the house? All right. I'm not going to yell at any team, so don't worry. Okay? Don't get all bent out of shape. But how many of you remember, you know, a while ago, I don't know if they still do this or not, but I remember watching Monday Night Football, and of course, at halftime, they would show the highlights of the games that were on Sunday, and they had this clip called The Hardest Hits, and they would always show somebody just getting blindsided and knocked silly, and of course, every now and then, you would see, instead of a person getting knocked silly by the opposing team, they would actually, like, get hit by their own teammate, right? And it's a true thing. The trials and the things that we experience is not just outside in the world, but it's with us in here too. And even in those things, God is going to be faithful to help us minister and encourage and, Lord willing, reconcile and not just, you know, do like us men do at times where we just, you burn that bridge, you ain't ever going to build it back up. And so if Jesus doesn't do that with us, then we shouldn't do that with one another. Never forget the grace of God that's been poured out on you. And so whenever you're in that in that position of being in fellowship with other people and they burn or they do something wrong, that we would extend that grace the way that God extends it to us. And so through these trials and all of the things that we've been learning, everything is for our good, though we may not like it, right? Can we all agree that the struggle is real? Yeah, and so we're going to continue on in trying to learn how to be men of God, how to man up in the things that we're going to experience. And so not only are we called to live out our faith, not only are we going to go through trials, but the other thing that I'm here to tell you is to kind of man up and to love God more than the temptations that we're going to face. And so if you can, and out of respect for the word of God, would love for you to stand on up. I'm going to read a few verses out of James, beginning in verse 12. And it says here, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when these desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Father, we once again lift up this time. Be our teacher. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. One of the things that I pray that we would, now that we've gotten all of this good words of encouragement and helping us see through the scriptures about the things that we're getting ready to face, my title and my topic is to love God more than the temptations that you're going to face. And one of the things that I know as we looked at scriptures, and some of us might be saying, you know, well, you know, this is all good and everything, but, you know, I don't really know James, and, you know, I know it's the Word of God, and some of us might think, well, you know, what was James all like? You know, who was he? Who is he to speak into my life, right? And it's like the Apostle Paul who says, count it all joy, and when did he write that? When he was in prison. So I think he has a good word to tell us about having joy, and even in tough situations. But even for the writer of the book of James, for those of you who don't know, this was the half-brother of Jesus. He was a leader in the church, and I was sharing with the staff the other day. I said, do you guys realize that he was also known as Old Camel Knees? That old camel, the animal camel, knees. Have you ever seen a picture of camel's knees? Why did they give him that name? Because he was a man of prayer. That he was literally on his knees that often praying and seeking for God's wisdom and direction. And again, even in the opening of his letter, he doesn't drop names. He doesn't throw out his title. All he says is, I'm a bondservant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, half brother to Jesus. And the other thing that I find amazing is that this is coming from a guy who was willing to be thrown off the temple walls for not denouncing his faith. So this man, James, has been laying it out for us and giving us an opportunity to see what's ahead. And he doesn't hold back any punches. And I'm thankful for that, because we need to just shoot straight with one another. We need to have that time for us as men to be able to receive from the Lord and take those hits, but understanding and knowing those hits are meant to make us better men. And so according to the scriptures, we've learned already that every one of us will face not only trials, because James uses this word when, but we also see in verse 13 that we're all going to face temptations. They're coming, and if you're not in one, you're going to be in one. They are going to happen. And the reality that we've seen so far about trials is this: they're God's divine difficulties that are meant to help us grow deeper. Again, first message, the image and the thing that stuck out to me of that refining process of gold, and when it gets heated up and all of the impurities come to the top, and the person who is watching this process starts removing those things that are all black and ugly and all of the impurities. And that's what God wants to do in our life. So this is a beautiful picture that God not only works through them, but the goal and the outcome is to be stronger and more mature in our faith. I've shared, oh, somebody's at my door. We got a ring going off. Go away, I'm busy. But one of the things that, again, we can look at this, and I just, you know, I bring this illustration out because I hope it makes an impact in you. But when I talk about being the man of God that he wants us to be, the reality is there are a lot of people who are brand new in the faith. You may have heard the term baby Christian. Don't take offense to that. You might hear an older saint. You might hear these words. And listen, when I think of those words and what I even think of what Revelation says, lukewarm, listen, I don't want to be a baby Christian. You know, it's not cute to see somebody who's in their 60s in a pamper. Would you agree with me? Please say amen. Okay, that's just weird and wrong and sick. So let's ask God to clear that mechanism now, and then we can move forward. But that's not cute. It is not. And so I've had an opportunity to sit with men who have been in ministry for, you know, some 40 plus years, and just sitting down with them for even 5 to 10 minutes has been so refreshing and so encouraging that it helps me to get encouraged and to move forward in the things of the Lord. And so I want us to make sure that we see this picture, that God wants to mature us to that place where you are receiving the wisdom from Him, not just so that you can say, I'm full of wisdom, but that wisdom is meant to be passed on to other people. And so God's greatest desire is to transform all of us into His Son's image. That's the goal. It's not just that we raise our hand and say we're saved. He wants to be so involved in your life and my life that He wants to transform you into the image of Jesus. And that's pretty cool. Yes. And so not only do we know that these temptations are coming, but again, when we face them, you and I will not be able to escape them in a sense that they're going to come. But with God's help, we can withstand them. And so for many of you who grew up in the church, praise the Lord for that. For those of you who may be like me that have never grown up in the church, got saved in the later part of years, you know, of your life, listen, it was hard. It was definitely challenging to make this change, but yet I'm thankful that the Lord was willing to open up my eyes even though I didn't deserve it. And so now that I know the Lord, now that I'm desiring to give Him my life, what do we see in this passage that James points out about these temptations that we're going to go through? There's two results. There's only two. The first one is found in verse 12 where it says, blessed is the man who endures the temptations. That word endure means not just to be sitting back and waiting and, you know, waiting for the sun to shine and sitting in darkness and you're not doing anything. That's not what it means. Enduring is being able to still be involved. That means willing to look in the right direction to get the help that you need to see you through what you're going through. So don't just say, I just got to kick back and then God's going to, you know, miraculously just make this go away. No, when we're going through it, when we are enduring in a way that pleases God, it's when we're looking to Him for that wisdom and guidance that we need to overcome whatever is in front of us. And so the person who endures that, notice God's promise is they will get an amazing gift. A crown of life. Notice it didn't say a car. It didn't say a bigger house or a bigger boat. It didn't say a brand new set of Bertha golf clubs or, you know, a brand new 12-gauge shotgun or whatever. It's not what it says. That's not your reward. Your reward comes in the form of a crown, and it says of what? Life. So the beauty of all of this that God wants to work in you not only draws you closer to Him, the intimacy and the ability to know God's very heart, but then that intimacy overflows into what we do and people see Jesus. That's the goal. And it helps us for the life now, and as Pastor Tim said, even the life to come. So what a blessing that we have, again, that we don't have a God that just says, okay, saved, check, see you when you get to heaven. No, He wants to walk with us and be with us and help us through every one of those circumstances. And so there's one result. The second is the person who gives into temptation. And this path will lead down a path that none of us would desire to be on. You know, it is interesting, you know, as Pastor Tim was sharing, and I hope he was a little bit more kind to this woman that came to him. I think he was, but, you know, he got a little excited there. But I know him, and he just shoots straight with people. But the reality is this. sin will definitely take you down a road that you never want to be on. And sometimes you will ask that question, how did I get here? And the reality is because you never asked the question the first time you were on the road. You waited to travel on until it got too dark. And some of us are like that prodigal son, sitting down eating with pigs. Haven't quite come to your senses yet. That's the path. The other result for those who don't endure. And I want you just to see this progression, because it goes from the temptation. Then the next words we see, entices. None of us like to be tricked. None of us like to be lied to. And that's exactly who our enemy is. He's the father of lies. He's a deceiver. He's a murderer. He's a liar. And his whole goal is to destroy you. And so it goes from entice to then giving birth. And then from giving birth, when fully grown, will lead you down to that road of eventually death. And so these are the two outcomes of it. And one of the things that we want to make sure is that we look at Scripture to find out what else the Bible says about temptation. And I want to draw our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, because this is a powerful verse that not only describes temptation in a little bit, but how to overcome it. So I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But when temptation, with the temptation, will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So gentlemen, if you are not familiar with this passage, I want to encourage you, circle it, highlight it. Let's walk through this really quickly, because it's important for us to understand that when temptation comes at you, it cannot overtake you. That's the first thing that we want to see here in this scripture. That even though the struggle is real, temptation cannot force you to give in. But it does look appetizing, as Pastor Tim was using other words to describe the lustful thoughts or the battle that we have with our flesh, the different appetites. And the reality is this: though it cannot force you, it cannot make you do what is in front of you. And the other important thing that is good to note is that temptation in itself is not a sin. When does it become a sin? When you give in to it. I know many of us have seen an illustration, but one of the things, again, you know, if you were considering your life and what an illustration would look like, you can have your life as the representative of the palm of my hand. And when these temptations come, and just like everyone's been saying, trials and temptations are going to come at every direction, and they're going to want to do this to you. They're going to want to knock you down. They're going to want to take you out of the picture, and they can hit as hard as they can. And the reality is, that's not the sin. But when we yield to it is when we do this and we hang on to it. That's when it becomes a sin. And so not only do we need to understand that, and again, we can't control how many come at us, when they're going to come at us, and they'll come at us at all times. I don't know if any of the other pastors will admit this, but for me, one of the greatest struggles before ever taking this platform is the walk after the last worship song from that corner or that corner to this pulpit. Because we have an enemy that's constantly, you didn't study enough. You didn't do this. You remember how you talked to Marisa the other day? You remember how you had so much grace with everybody else at church, but when you got home, you blew a fuse. You remember that person, instead of blessing them, you said, you idiot who cut you off on the road? Remember all the things that you've done? And he's so good at reminding us of our failures. And as a young believer, I could remember sitting in seats just like you. Images flashing back. I could remember going, even to this day, going down to Walmart, just trying to shop and provide for my family. And all of a sudden, the old jams come on. And my mind immediately goes back to where I once was. He's good. And all he wants to do is distract and pull away. And the thing that is important is to understand this. Don't yield. Don't give it. Don't give in to it. And the mistake that I do believe many of us make is we allow temptation to remain in front of us. We allow temptation to remain on our hearts and in our minds. And what will take place when you look at it, you're going to want it. When you let it remain in your mind, it's going to then give birth. Back in the 70s when I was growing up, how many of you remember Happy Days? How many of you remember Sanford and Son? Can't watch that show today. How about the Jeffersons? But when I started thinking about all the stuff that I started watching, MTV first started coming out, and how the TV shows changed, and didn't realize Happy Days was just all about young teenage boys wanting to have sex. And everything that I watched, everything that I filled my mind with, eventually the enemy used, and I became a father at the age of 17. So whatever we allow in front of us, whatever we allow to take, what we take in and what we continue to ponder on and allow it to remain within us will eventually give birth. And it's in moments like this that we know the struggle is real, but we also need to remember another portion of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5 says this: "We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments." These are things that we're going to face in this world. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. So the thing that is important to remember, that even though those are real and their temptations are in front of us, don't let it remain there, but take captive and remove it as fast as it enters. The moment that you began to see something or ponder on something that you know is not godly, don't let it stay there. Remove it. Take hold of it and cut it away. For me, what is that process? Man, if that means me closing my eyes, pulling over off of the road and praying, then that's what I need to do. If it's not only getting somewhere quiet and praying and asking the Lord to remove that thought, then that's what we got to do. Put on worship music. Empty out whatever is negative and fill it with something that is good. And so the next thing that we want to see here in this passage is that, yes, temptations are coming, and to realize that they're spiritual battles. And we need to fight spiritual battles with God's weapons, and that weapon is prayer. That weapon is what will eventually help us in our times of need. So again, don't allow those things to remain in front of us. They cannot overtake us. The second thing that I think we could see in this passage in Corinthians is this: your temptation is not greater than the person next to you. Again, they're all coming at us, and some of the most common temptations that we're going to face is immorality. Against our rebellious nature, the nature that wants nothing to do with God. You know, if you're the type of brother that wakes up in the morning and he floats to his bathroom and he's just singing hallelujah and praises to God, I hate you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. If that's you, man, praise the Lord. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. If you float like that, then praise the Lord. But it takes a while for me to get up. Takes a while for me to get going. And if we neglect feeding our soul, the old nature is so quick to rise up and remind us that it is still there. And all of those desires and all of our old ways will want to take control once again. But immorality is basically living and doing those things that we know already that are opposite of God. How about greed? Desiring things, desiring material things, desiring what other people have, thinking that you can't live without them. Idolatry, allowing other things to take the place of God in our own hearts. And it is so interesting because, again, when we're thinking about temptations and we know what the scripture says, we want to make sure that we are doing our best to recognize what's in front of us so that way we can withstand them. And what I find amazing and interesting at the same time is that when these temptations come, just like what we read in James, they come from within. They come from the things that are already planted in our heart. And Jesus revealed what's in our heart in the gospel accounts. He already revealed that there's evil thoughts. There's sexual immorality in our hearts. There's all of these things that we were naturally born with. Naturally that they come into our life. That sinful nature, rebellious nature toward God. And it is something that I pray, because of that, the enemy already knows what to tempt you with. And whatever he's tempting you with is not going to be the same for me, because again, we're just different. But the temptations are still going to come. Though Satan can't read our mind, all he has to do is look at our life. And we give him enough ammo to dangle that little carrot in front of us. And we need to be careful. But I do pray that in those times that we would understand and know, because we will all face these temptations, you're not alone, guys. You're not alone. You've already heard an encouragement to get with other brothers, and you're going to hear another one later. But if we can't be real with brothers within these walls of these church, we're not going to be real outside of these walls. So we definitely need to find a good group of men who will help us, to pray for us, to check in on us, and even to call us out when needed. The other thing that I want us to see is that in the midst of our temptations that we will face, God will be faithful to help us. We have to remember that he's not the one tempting us, according to James, what we just read earlier, chapter 1, verse 13. And it says here that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to handle. Now, everybody has a different opinion about this portion of scripture. But here's the thing that I want to just make sure that we stay focused on. That through the temptation, through the trials, God does have a purpose. And that is to draw us closer to him. That is to make sure that we're depending upon him and nothing else. But the reason why I believe that we can hold on to this verse and anchor down on it because of this, he's not going to allow anything to be too difficult that will crush us. And why do I believe that? Because of what 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have the capability of withstanding these things. And so not only is he able to help us, not only is he able to give us a way of escape, he's providing all of these things for us so that we can overcome, so that we don't get sucked into them. And that help can only come from him. Let's have just a reality check. How many of you have tried to overcome your temptations in your own strength? Okay. Thank you for their participation. I wasn't looking for it, but praise the Lord. But the question of everybody raising your hand, those are the ones that have realized that it is just not working well. And so now that we know a little bit more about temptation, what are we going to do with this? What are we going to ask God for help with? And how are we going to overcome temptations that are happening within our life? And so the first thing I want us to see is this: don't think you can handle them on your own. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 tells us, if you think you are you stand strong, be careful, because you're going to fall. If you allow your pride to keep you from asking for help, guarantee you, you're going to fall. We can't change these things. We can't do them on our own. And again, the simple reminder of this, we have an enemy who deceives. And if the enemy was able to deceive a third of God's angels, who are we to think that we can stand against him on our own? We need God's help. The other thing that I pray we would understand and know that will eventually, Lord willing, help us, and that is to pray for God's help. Listen to this. Yes, we need to pray in the midst, but it's more important to pray in advance. Jesus told the disciples in the Gospel of Mark, as we've been going through this, when they were in the garden before trouble hit, Jesus told James, Peter, and John, watch and pray lest you enter into what? Temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. If you ever think that you can pray your way out of a situation when you're in the heat of the situation, you're going to be sadly disappointed and you're going to fail. So what should this look like in our life? What are we talking about when it says, when I'm encouraging us to pray in advance, pray before you even get out of bed? You know, it's so funny. I heard this illustration the other day, or it was a while ago, and it's like a guy wakes up in the morning and he starts praying and he says, Lord, up to this point, I've been perfect. I haven't had any bad thoughts. I haven't done anything wrong. I've just, you know, I'm so thankful that you've given me life. But in the next 5 minutes when I get out of bed, it's going to be a different story. And so in the morning, I think all of us have prayed, Lord, walk with me today. That's a good prayer. In the morning, I think all of us have prayed, Lord, forgive me of my sins even before I get out of bed. That's a good prayer. What else is a good prayer? Lord, empty me of myself so that I could be filled with more of you. And then the next prayer, Lord, help me to stand when temptation comes. You pray in advance before it even hits you. And when we come to the Lord in that way, I guarantee you, he's going to be faithful and help us as we walk and as we face these temptations. And yes, I still want you to pray when you're in the heat of it, but I guarantee you, if you do it before you get into it, you're going to start seeing things before they even unfold. You know, when we were growing up, my dad, streetwise, very smart, been around the block. And I had one of my uncles come, and he stayed with us for a little while and was working with my dad in construction and got his first paycheck. Went down to the little liquor store around the corner from our house and he cashed his check and he says, I'm going to go and buy groceries for the family to help out, just to say thank you. And my dad was like, cool. So he goes to the market, and my older sister went with him, and sure enough, he comes back, and he's got this remote control in his hand, and my dad watched him, and I remember this very clearly. And my dad looked at him, he goes, you done messed up. And he's like, no, I got this killer deal. This guy had this TV, and here's the remote control, and I paid, you know, $200 for this, you know, $600 TV. And he goes, where's the box? And he's like, it's right here. He goes, open it. And it was this old rinky-dink TV that was worse than the one we already had. And he's like, oh, man, it looked all brand new. He's like, yeah, my dad's like, you got fooled, buddy. My dad knew that trick. And if we could actually be prayed up, God's going to say, what you look out for, what you need to do not to get yourself in that position, or you see behind it to know that this is something that the enemy is wanting you to take. The next thing that I pray we can take some practical steps in is we ourselves need to avoid areas that will tempt you. You know, it's so funny. This guy decided one day that he was going to stop eating donuts. He wasn't a cop. It's just an illustration. But he stopped and said, I really got to get healthy, and I got to stop eating these donuts, man. They're just making me gain a bunch of weight. And so he was doing really good for a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, he just felt like, man, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord if it would be okay for me to have one donut. And so he said, I prayed and I asked the Lord, give me a sign that I would know it's okay for me to have a donut. If that parking spot in the very front of the donut shop is empty, I know it's a sign from you. And so he drove around the block 12 times. And then God spoke. Stop driving by those places. Stop hanging out on the corner. Stop going and being in places that are only going to tempt you. Listen, sports bar, I love football. Go over to Verizon and hook up a free app at NFL and watch it at home, where you won't be tempted. For those of you who are struggling with pornography, there are plenty of software out there to help you, to help keep you off of those websites. If you have a computer in your bedroom, get it out of your bedroom. Put it in your kitchen. If you are having difficulty with your smartphone, then go get a dumb phone. Go get one of those old school flip phones that only text and call. We don't need to have a camera. If my pet peeve, fellas, I don't want to see what you're eating. Listen, you don't need to be on the internet. You want to see a scary thought? Or you want to see something? You go to your settings, look at your battery usage, and even that will break down on what hour, how many minutes, how many seconds you've been scrolling on whatever tiki-wiki, whatever is out there. It'll tell you how many hours that you've spent just going like this and doing what? Feeding your mind with nonsense. If you're having difficulty, cut it off. I need my phone. No, you don't. We've lived with them without them for a number of years. How about this? Anger. How many of you are dealing with anger? Guys, what are you doing about it? You know you have a problem. Praise the Lord. You raised your hand. You acknowledge it, but what are you doing about it? Because the reality is God wants to help you in that anger issue as well. God wants to help set you free from it. So what are the practical things that you could do? Avoid conversations that you know you're going to blow your lid. You already know the pattern. Remove yourself from the conversation. And I get it. We all have dysfunctional families. Sometimes our wives and I, we don't communicate correctly. Okay? I understand that. But you have the ability to know, I'm going to back away from this conversation because if I don't, I'm going to go off. If you're around family on Thanksgiving dinner and politics is an issue, stop. Don't talk about it. Let everybody know we want to have a peaceful dinner tonight. Politics is off the table. And if they leave, then that's more turkey for you. Praise the Lord. Set the boundaries. How about hobbies? Listen, it's awesome. You know what? I praise the Lord for the men that I know who are enjoying life right now. They've paid their dues. They've worked hard all of their life. They were wise with their money. They were able to put stuff away, and now they're enjoying life. Praise the Lord. But I want you also to know this, that with all of the wise counsel that God's given you to get you where you're at, he's not going to be impressed with your golf swing. He's not going to be impressed by you being able to decipher how many horsepower that engine has. He's not going to be impressed with, you know, how well you can shoot a target from 200 yards out. I might be, but the Lord's not. Some of those hobbies that we have can literally take the place of God. And the heart of the issue is again, avoiding those things that are going to pull you away. Those things that are going to take more of your time. Those things that are going to be hours that you're not going to be able to get back. And I get it. I played golf before, and I remember all 17 holes. I lost about 4,600 balls. But that last 18th hole, man, I hit the green. And then I wanted to play another 18. It'll pull you in. Don't let it. And so my last encouragement to us about these temptations that are going to be in front of us, the greatest thing that we can do is surrender to the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Therefore submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." And I love Tim's illustration about takes one turn and you're right with the Lord. That repentance, that true repentance. We may be walking away from the Lord, but one turn we're walking with the Lord. And when trials and temptations come, it's just one turn away from the Lord, and the enemy will also be right there ready to welcome you. And so, drawing close to the Lord, we need to take note of how Jesus resisted temptation. We need to take note how some of the other men in the Bible resisted temptation. The other men in the Bible were not perfect. We heard about David's mistake. But the reality is how did Jesus overcome? He used scripture. When the enemy came, when he was fasting and tempted him with all of the things that any one of us will be tempted with, and yet how did the Lord Jesus respond with scripture? Understanding and knowing scripture, understanding and knowing that what we take in and what God's word will do in our life will literally help us stand in those hours of need. So not only has God given us his word, but he's also given us his spirit that he would dwell in you and me to help us overcome, to help us by strengthening us. Do you realize, brothers, that when God gave you his spirit, that you and I now have the power and the ability to say no to sin? You don't have to be overtaken by it. You can stand against it because his spirit is what empowers you to. Not you, but him. He's also given you the guy sitting next to you or another brother in this audience or somebody that you have built a relationship with. But you and I belong to an amazing body of Christ, a family of God. And I am super blessed, and I'm not just saying this because I'm put on a spot or anything like this, but all throughout my life, God has used men in my life to help me where I'm at today. And I am thankful for those men. And as rough as I was in the beginning, they were patient with me. As I got a little older, they would challenge me. And as I got even older, they would look at me and just shake their head at times. But I never once heard any of them say, "I don't have time for you." I never once heard any of them say, "How many times do I got to tell you?" And even to this day, there are five men, four men that any given day I can call, and each one of those men will definitely pray for me. Every now and then they'll check in on me, and they will actually call me out if they see anything in my life that is not right. You and I need that. And so my desire in sharing these things with us today is again to help us overcome. But there's one last one. The title of this message, choose to love God more than what temptation has to offer. Because anything of this world will be temporary. But what God offers us and the joy that we can receive from the Lord is for all eternity. So don't think the 20 minutes of sexual satisfaction is going to fill your cup. Don't think the stuff that this world offers us is going to fill our cup. Don't think that all of the things that you've been saving up for is what's going to fill your cup. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can fill that cup. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 40 talk about us loving the Lord our God with all of our strength, soul, everything that is within us. And when we love Him first with everything, He teaches us how to love others. Colossians chapter 3, read the whole chapter. Now that we are saved, now that we know where Jesus is at, set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Again, the things here on this earth will fade away. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, talk about how the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another. Which one's going to win? Whichever one you feed. When you live in the spirit, the fruit of the spirit is going to honor God, and it's going to give us the ability to be the men of God that He's called us to be. You give into your flesh, and you will reap destruction. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow is what you will reap. And so today, men, I believe with all my heart that we need to come back to understanding how important it is that if we want to overcome these things, okay, don't think you can handle temptations on your own. We need to pray and ask God for help in advance. We need to avoid areas that are going to tempt us. We need to surrender to the Lord. And we need to choose to love God more than what temptation has to offer. And when we're able to do that, I guarantee you that we will find ourselves deeper and stronger in our relationship with the Lord. I believe with all my heart, listen, fellas, when we love Jesus, we are not going to cheapen His grace. We're not going to use grace as a license to sin anymore. We're going to stand firm. We're going to resist the temptations, resist the enemy. And when we do that, God fills our heart and He strengthens us. He grows us. We become more mature. Our faith, again, strong in the Lord. So God has given us everything that we need, so that we can man up. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You so much for this morning. And I thank You again for all of the messages so far. And I pray, God, that You would continue to help build in us, Lord, a heart that wants more of You. I pray, God, that again, we would give You full access, that we would allow You to come in as that vine dresser and prune away. God, that You would remove the things that are hindering us from growing, that You would help us in our times of need. I pray, God, that again, when we give You that opportunity, that when we turn to You and we trust in You, that we will see, Lord, victory. That we would literally be set free from those things that still seem to pop up. Those things that we still seem to find ourselves entangled in at times. God, help us today to know You set us up for victory. And so we love You, we thank You, we give You this time, we give you our hearts, and we continue to ask, God, keep filling us with more of you. We love you, and we give you this time now in Jesus' name. Amen.